Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and yes, it's Presidential Caucus Day in Iowa. After months of campaigning, the voting actually begins. Here's Republican frontrunner, Donald Trump, at a rally in Waterloo, Iowa, just this morning.
I'm not going to talk about polls today because, frankly, the polls today we have our ultimate poll, so I don't have to talk about polls. But the one that just came out in New Hampshire has us way, way up. Because of the debate, because of what I did, people respected that we don't take the stuff from people that, you know, shouldn't be treating us that way. And they respected it.
Well, since Donald Trump said he wasn't going to talk about polls and did so anyway, so are we. On the Democratic side, the latest Des Moines Register poll gives Hillary Clinton a small 3-point lead over Bernie Sanders. Here's Sanders yesterday on CNN's State of the Union.
Our issues are out there. People are really enthusiastic. And if people come out to vote, I think you're going to look at one of the biggest political upsets in the modern history of our country.
Well, joining us now to talk about the road between Iowa and the New Hampshire primary, which is just a week from tomorrow, WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, Meghna.
So let's start with the GOP. According to that final Des Moines Register and Bloomberg Politics poll, yes, we're going to talk about polls here a little
Thank
bit.
Thank God Trump didn't talk about them, right?
Well, Trump's got the edge over Ted Cruz, 28% to 23%, Marco Rubio at 15%. So coming out of Iowa, what are the big questions for you?
All right. Well, so Trump is in the lead in Iowa. He's got a big lead in New Hampshire, and he's leading in South Carolina. And here's a fact. Since 1980, when South Carolina became the third major race behind New Hampshire and Iowa, no Republican in a contested presidential primary has ever won all three.
Huh, yeah.
So if Trump can do that, it will be quite a thing, quite a feat, and it would set him up pretty well on the road toward the nomination. But here's the first big question that I have, and it's this. All of those voters that the polls suggest he have, are they actually going to come out and support him? Because, you know, for the better part of the last year, Trump has had this commanding lead. He's defied expectations. He's seemingly bulletproof. I mean, no matter what he says, no matter who he offends, no matter how racist he is, his poll numbers just go up and up and up. Finally, real people are going to be able to cast votes. And the big question that I have is, will the supporters really turn out in the kind of strength that those polls suggest? And keep in mind that a lot of his support comes from people who are not regular voters. So will they come out?
Yeah.
And I talked to Dante Scala about this. He's a political science professor at UNH and a close observer of the New Hampshire primary. Here's what he said.
You know, going to a rally is one thing. Taking time out of your day to go and vote, which is much more of a solitary thing. There's not that rally effect. You're not going for the party. But all that should be taken, you know, with a grain of salt, that observers like myself have been underestimating Trump's staying power all year.
Boy, have we ever.
Yeah. And Meghna, I really agree with that, what Dante Scala says. We have underestimated the Trump factor. On the other hand, I've been sort of struck by what I've seen at Trump rallies in New Hampshire. I talked to a lot of people. These are unscientific surveys, of course, but I'm struck by how many people haven't made up their mind, how many people come from out of state. Very unlike a Bernie Sanders event where everyone is there. It feels like a movement. They're all for Sanders. So I still want to see what really happens at the polls. That's what I'm really curious to see tonight.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's talk about Donald Trump's chief opponent in Iowa right now. That's, of course, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, who's been sending out mailers to Iowa voters trying to shame them into showing up for the caucuses. But what's at stake for him in Iowa?
Well, just about everything. Cruz has spent quite a bit of time in New Hampshire, but Iowa is where he's really staking his claim because that's where he can appeal to the state's many evangelical voters. Not a lot of evangelicals in New Hampshire. The latest Des Moines Register poll shows that he's running behind Trump by 5 points, so it's still a close race. Cruz's voters are committed conservatives and a very solid get-out-the-vote effort, and high turnout could close that gap. But if Cruz loses to Trump in Iowa and then comes to New Hampshire and loses there, he'd face a big challenge as the race moves south and west. So I think it's pretty much do or die in Iowa for Ted Cruz. That's what I would say. Anyway.
Interesting observation, right? So Cruz needs Iowa. Trump would love to get it, doesn't necessarily need it because he's got New Hampshire. Oh, interesting, Anthony. Okay, well, what about the rest of the Republican field, starting with Marco Rubio? And then, of course, there are the, let's call them, the more moderate group, Jeb Bush, Chris Christie, John Kasich.
Yeah, so this is where we get into this strange analysis of what's a win and what's not. So if Marco Rubio can finish a strong third in Iowa, and the polls indicate he might, he could come into New Hampshire next week making the case that he's the logical, incredible alternative to Trump. So for him, finishing third tonight is almost a win. But then, what about Bush? What about Kasich, Christie? They're all running second or close to second in New Hampshire. So trying to figure out who emerges as the credible establishment Republican candidate after Iowa and New Hampshire is one of the big questions. And this brings me to the other big question about Trump, and that is, can he continue to win if the Republican field narrows?
Right, which is what a lot of people have been calling for folks to drop out.
Exactly, yeah. Right. So he's benefiting right now from this very crowded field. They're sort of cannibalizing each other. But let's say most of them drop out and leave it to Rubio to challenge Trump. Well, Trump polls roughly at 30%. The four establishment Republicans poll at about 34%. So it would be a real race, and the question then would be, how would Trump do in head-to-head without the benefit of this very crowded field?
Okay.
So another big question.
Well, we might get some clarity on that after Iowa if some of the lower vote-getters do decide to do, in fact, just that, to drop out. But,
right.
But Anthony, so let's just shift gears and talk about the Democrats. According to the recent polls that we talked about at the top of our conversation, Senator Bernie Sanders has a lead in New Hampshire over Hillary Clinton, but Clinton has a slim lead over Sanders in Iowa. So what's at stake for the two of them tonight?
Well, I think it'd be difficult for Sanders to sustain his challenge without wins in both Iowa and New Hampshire. After New Hampshire, where he's expected to do very well, he faces a tough contest in South Carolina, where African-American voters lean heavily toward Clinton. So he really needs wins in Iowa and New Hampshire to unleash new excitement, momentum, more money, and the possibility of sort of upending what comes after New Hampshire. And it's really going to come down to energizing new voters for him. That means younger voters. They also want high turnout. So they're hoping that that snowstorm that's predicted doesn't keep people at home tonight. And if they come out in big numbers in Iowa, he could close that gap with Clinton. But there's a lot at stake for Sanders tonight in Iowa.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Hillary Clinton and what's at stake for her. Here's a little tape. She's speaking to CNN just this morning from Iowa, particularly Des Moines.
I know how you get things done. I am a progressive who wants to make progress and actually produce real results in people's lives. That's what I'm offering. I'm not over-promising. I'm laying out the plans that I have. I'm asking people to look at them, and I'm asking people to hold me accountable.
So, Anthony, here's the thing. Now that we're on caucus day here in Iowa, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that Clinton's, you know, campaign had the feel of a coronation, so not so much as a nomination, right?
Mm-hmm.
The whole inevitability factor that everyone was talking about.
Yeah.
She was doing well in the debates and seemed to be breezing towards this summer. But then, all of a sudden, she's in a real race with Bernie Sanders. What happened? What turned? I mean, is this a repeat of 2008?
Well, it's a repeat in some ways. I mean, in 2008, she was up against Barack Obama, who was the insurgent of that election. Now she's up against Sanders. He's definitely the insurgent in this election. But Hillary Clinton is in a tough spot in this particular climate, I think, because there's so much discontent out there among Republicans and Democrats. People upset about economic inequality, feeling that the system isn't working for them. Sanders is addressing that. So is Trump to some degree. And Clinton is too, but she's coming at it, you know, as the pragmatist. She's embracing Obama. She's an incrementalist. She wants to build on the Obama legacy, not blow it up. But that's a tough sell in this particular climate, even among loyal Democrats. And I spoke to Dante Scala about this issue as well. Here's what he said.
All the people who look at Barack Obama and say to themselves, good, but not great. Good, but not all we expected. All of that pent-up energy, even frustration, now is the wind behind Bernie Sanders' back. And for Clinton, she's got that wind blowing in her face.
But she also has a lead in Iowa. But Scala says that wind will be blowing particularly hard next week in New Hampshire, which has a bit of a tradition of supporting insurgent candidates. So that'll be interesting to watch.
Absolutely. Well, Anthony Brooks is WBUR's senior political reporter talking to us on what's at stake in Iowa as we look forward to next Tuesday's New Hampshire primary. Anthony, always great to talk to you.
Thank you. It's always good. And I'm heading up to New Hampshire as soon as I leave the studio.
Get thee to the Granite State.